I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Can you believe it? It's already June. 2020 is the quickest and the slowest year on record. Hello, everyone. My name is Flobo Boyce, and you are locked into the Monday Night Raw After Show presented by AfterBuzz TV, Wrestling and Sports. Leslie Colon, La Profesora, is on assignment, but that's okay, because I have my broadcast colleague right here. I used to say he's the voice of the AEW Dynamite After Show on AfterBuzz TV, but he is the voice of wrestling on this network, full stop. Give it up for Jack Farmer.
We both know that can't be true because you're the godfather of pro wrestling and sports on AfterBuzz TV. I can't be the guy. You're the guy. There can only be one guy.
You're the guy. Monday night, Wednesday night, it's a pay-per-views. What can't this guy do? We're going to talk about a lot of things happening in Monday Night Raw and even NXT, I guess, if you think about Charlotte with, you know, TakeOver In Your House being this Sunday and Backlash being the week after that. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I understand that we are in some pretty unique times nowadays, and I appreciate each and every one of you for coming in. Just a little bit of entertainment or talk about wrestling, something we love so much. So please be safe and please be nice to each other. Jack Farmer speaking. Mm-hmm. About entertainment. You know what's entertaining to me? You know something I really like right now?
What's that, Flobo?
This Lana Lashley MVP storyline. I didn't know about it. I'm on board. It's compelling. Jack, I want to do the fact that Lana has got me bobbing her head to her music and feeling for her in backstage.
This is the best news I have heard in so long. This story, I know you weren't on board with it at the beginning. I'm telling you, though, they found a way to pull it all together by the fact that, like I said, that they got Lana feuding with MVP. I loved that little moment backstage when they both kind of agreed that they're leeching on Bobby Lashley a little bit. And this entire thing is going to explode in a bad way. And I'm going to – this episode, I haven't said it in a long time, Flobo. It's been a minute. This was a cracking episode. I loved it. I thought it was great. They have so many storylines going on that I want to see what happens next. They are lighting some fuses, and they are getting closer and closer to blowing up. This is what we've been waiting for so long. They're back on track, baby, and I think Lana Lashley and MVP are the conductors driving that train down the tracks.
Oh, man, that's so poetic. But yes, it's been a while since you said something was cracking, Jack. I feel like I feel this is an honor special. But let's talk about this. Drew McIntyre is almost secondary, but in a good way here. Lashley somehow like well-worn but a blue chipper kind of thing. MVP sees something in there. Lana does not. She comes out to the match tonight in the main event. Ali to no avail, because even though MVP lost, Lashley still got the upper hand. What happens next? Does Lana get somebody else? Is there going to be a tag team match player? I mean, where does it go from here?
That's what's so great about the way this is set up. First off, they ended the show perfect. They ended the show. Obviously, MVP wasn't going to win this match, but they still let
Bobby Lashley. Obviously, I had hopes.
Well, you know, it's storytelling. You got to build to the next thing. And it was fantastic seeing Bobby Lashley actually get the upper hand, not just one hand, but upper two hands, putting in that full Nelson. And what's great about this is I think going into this, we were all saying, we don't think that Lashley's going to win because McIntyre's got to keep on going. He's got to keep on going. The fact that Lashley, who I'm loving right now, is going to lose is more exciting because it's going to combust. Those two are going to start blaming each other. He's going to pick one of them to blame. Something's going to happen. This is a match where we can know the outcome and still be excited to see what happens. It's fantastic. It's perfect.
Can I be bold and say that this is a direct benefit of the lack of fans in the arena? If there were fans and crowds, this wouldn't have happened the way it did.
You cannot be bold. No. Take it away.
Good night, everybody. Take it away.
Like Samoa Joe, I'm not going bowling. Yeah.
Poor Byron, man. He's like a champ. He's just like, okay.
Such a punk. By the way, Byron Saxton, every time they show him, man, I forget how jacked he is. You can see his arms are just about ready to bust out of those jackets every time he wears them. I'm thinking the poor tailor that puts those things together is probably just crossing his fingers like, please get to the show.
Yeah, Byron Saxton looks like the kind of guy that once he goes, now see here, just back down. Listen here, pal.
I'm sorry. That would actually be great if Byron Saxton one of these days just was like, I've had enough of you guys. I've tried to play nice. But right. You guys leave me alone and have them both like, sorry.
He gets heel music. Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens with that storyline. And I know that it looks very apparent. Parents that Drew McIntyre is going to retain at Backlash, because if he loses his title, that would be the greatest wrestling match ever. Let's be honest about it. But let's say this happens. Do you do another match with Lashley with this, or is this definitely a one and done type of deal, especially with SummerSlam on the horizon 2 months away?
Would this be, if McIntyre lost, would it be the quickest WrestleMania title win and then loss that we've seen in a long time? I
don't know. I mean, McIntyre said he had the title for 9 weeks, and I had to count it. I was like, holy crap, he's right. I had no idea.
That is crazy that he won it 9 weeks ago, and WrestleMania was well into the quarantine. It was not like day one or anything. Right. It just makes you think, geez, it has been that long. That is insane. This is the weirdest.
We've been in quarantine so long, Jack got a big beard, shaved it off, and it came back. That's how long we've been stuck inside our apartment, locked down in curfew. I'm just kidding. Before we move on, though, Jack, can you do me a favor? After I totally made fun of your beard, can you tell the world how they can listen to this AfterBuzz show and other AfterBuzz shows?
Well, if you're watching on YouTube, you can also check it out on iTunes and Spotify. And if you're listening to it on iTunes and Spotify, you can watch it on YouTube and you can see the beard that Flobo is talking about. It comes, it goes. I have no idea. Every morning it's a coin flip whether or not it's going to stay there. And I'll be honest, the top of my head hair, that's a coin flip too, because it is getting a little too long for my taste. But that has nothing to do with where you can find us. You can find us in all these places. And to help make us the ESPN of TV Talk, we need you guys to hit us with those 5-star reviews, to hit the like button, leave some comments, and most importantly, share it with your friends. That's how our audience grows, and that's how we continue to provide you with more content. Thank you all so much. Thank you for joining us in the chat as well. Dang MQ, Joseph Boza, Derek Fisher, Chris Hill, Haywood Wong, lots of other folks there as well. So thank you so much for being a part of the discussion.
So for the chat, something I like to call the question of the week. The question of the week this week is this. Do you want to see Jack Farmer in a man bun? I need to know what you think. Let me know in the chat.
I'll be honest. It's this close. It's so close. It's really so close. I just can't get the very front in there. It's kind of like, it's, I think my neighbors think I'm crazy because like I have to wear a hat all day. Otherwise like it like flops down in my face and it's super annoying. So I have to like put something in it to like hold it back, but it's
I can't
so
imagine what does Fancy Jack hat look like? Is it a fedora? Is like one of those like Sam Jackson hats? What is it?
This is gonna break my character, but I'm not fancy all the time. I usually wear
whatever
sweatpants and t-shirts, so it's like I have a few beanies, and then just because I'm obnoxious, I have some sweatbands like that Bobby Lashley used to wear. So I'll wear those, and I have all my hair sticking up because I'm obnoxious, and
we need photos. Heywood Wong in the chat goes, what the? All right, so let's move on. Let's talk about Aleister Black. This storyline to me is a little bit confusing, so I want your help with this. Aleister Black is fighting for the honor of Rey Mysterio, bro, because, you know, he's contemplating retirement, which we'll get to that just in a second. So he comes out, and he's like, all right, let's do this. But it was said that Mysterio was a mentor to Aleister Black. I don't quite buy. Jack, help me out here.
So this, by the way, this is doing set this storyline and the way they're progressing this is great. I think it's almost catching up right now with the Lashley Lana storyline, in my opinion. Almost. But I caught that line and I thought that was so weird because Aleister Black's never said it. There's nothing about him that really seems like he's been mentored by Rey Mysterio. And it's not something you need to say. You can just say, yeah, he's a fan of him or like many people grew up watching Rey Mysterio. Didn't he say he was a mentor? But maybe that was just one of those things you say when you're talking into a microphone, as you and I do. And sometimes you say something like, maybe that wasn't the right thing to say. Yeah. One thing, as we speak about Rey, though, I want to ask your opinion on something. Maybe you know why. But they were showing that video in the beginning of the show, his highlights. And by the way, the little kid that was like, I love you, Rey. I was like, oh, that touched my heart. But why is it they never use any clips from his WCW days? It's always the same clips of him winning the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, which I get were big moments. But
true.
In WCW, especially if you're trying to talk about this guy having a long career and all the things he's done, you could have him showing matches, him wrestling Ric Flair in WCW. You could show him younger. You could show him fighting the NWO, like, and all these other big moments that they own the rights to.
Right. And
even guys like Ric Flair, who are still under contract. So I can't imagine any reason not to use that. Do you know, like, is there a reason for that?
I don't have a company reason. I'm not an insider, guys. I never claimed to be. But I have two theories. Mm-hmm. And one is a little bit lamer than the other. The lame one is, well, that was Rey Mysterio Jr. in WCW, not Rey Mysterio. but the one that's a little less lame is it's kind of hard to put the legacy of Rey Mysterio in WCW without that weird time when he was unmasked, at least I think. And so it'd be kind of odd for me to see a start of that just weird omission, because you're not going to break kayfabe for a video package and then go back to him being in a mask. I'm not saying it can't be done. I feel like that's just like a time I wouldn't even touch.
I wouldn't show the face. I understand them not showing the mask removal time in the film. I totally get that. That I get. But I don't know. There's so many good him, like, and you can even build him up as like the guy that built the cruiserweight division and brought Lucha Libre to America. I feel like that just builds him as even a bigger star. And when I think about it, even as I think about that, I'm like, yeah, why are we not talking about him as a top 10, top 15, top 20 at most guy? I'm an old softie for WCW. I was always I'm the WCW historian, but
yes, he was.
But I don't get why they don't put that in there. But
that is literally my next question. So between Seth Rollins' retirement package, which by the way, I would still make me a WWE package. Those are slick. Mm-hmm. And Rey Mysterio's interview where Dominic gets involved and somehow's going to get his dad killed one of these days.
Again.
Again. What are you doing?
Brock Lesnar just
he's like totally lauding this guy. You can take him, Bob. It's like, son, I have one eye left. What are you? Okay, yeah, so.
Is that friend that just keeps like talking smack to him? Like, dude, we keep getting beat up. What are you doing?
Right. Dominic, no. You actually raise a good point. We sit there and we say the Mount Rushmore wrestling, the top 10 wrestlers, top 5 wrestlers. We say Flair, Sting, Undertaker, whatever you make, Hogan, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. But when someone goes, hey, is Rey Mysterio good? We always go, he's the GOAT. But it's like, is he a phantom goat? Like, do we not see this goat? Is the goat invisible, Jack?
I think he's completely underrated in that regard. He's one of the greatest of all time, and he's the most underrated. You could say he's one of the most underrated top talents that you could come across. And I don't know why. I just don't know why. There's so much even just influence in what he's done. As far as like how many Hurricane Ranas do we see these days and top rope dives and things like that? And we always talk about how much influence other people have had, like Shawn Michaels, and he did.
Yeah.
But Rey Mysterio, there's so much that's going on because of what he has done. He really is. I would say top 15 easy. And maybe I'm underrating him too. Maybe he should be higher.
Here's a deep cut for no one that really gets that old 90s R&B. I feel like Rey Mysterio is like the Raphael Sadiq of wrestling. Because, like, he influences everybody. He was one of the biggest groups of all time, Tony Tone. But no one's like, oh, man, Raphael, like, how are you stupid? shout out to Antonio Banks in the chat. I love the MVP reference, one of the greatest characters of all time. We had that video on the AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports. So let's talk about my new best friend, Apollo Crews, because we're tight now. Yo,
boy.
Yo, the bump last week, pinned it to my Twitter and everything. He is looking like a star with that championship around his waist. Not too jazzed about the promo, but who cares? Hey, nerves, I get it. But he looks the part. Jack!
That title looks like it was made for him. It fits him so perfect. It looks so good on him. Like, I was excited he won it because I know he's your guy, and I'm a fan of him too. I've always thought he was great.
Now you are.
Mm-hmm. I was excited. I was excited he won it. And then when I saw him talking about you, Flobo, not another Flobo.
Yeah, exactly. Bring that real quick.
Flobo, you, I was so blown away. We should open up every episode of Raw with that clip. Every episode of the after show.
But me getting a t-shirt from Apollo?
Even after you're gone, much like we play Max music still, we still have that. But I knew he was the champion. I knew he was going to be wearing the title. But when he came out wearing that title, I was like, dang, that looks perfect. That is a perfect, it looks great. That is just a great visual. And I think he did an awesome job. I think he had a great match. I'll be honest, the one thing that holds me back about him, the promo didn't bother me. I'm not a fan of his finishing move. It just feels...
Oh, I get what you're saying. I don't know what he calls it now.
I mean, it's a cool move in a match, but it doesn't feel like the finish. He did an Olympic slam or an angle slam or whatever you want to call it. I thought that looked cool. He should use that. It's not as impressive, but you can like pop it off. You can do cool things with it. I just don't feel like his move is a good finish personally.
I think that's fair, and I think that's something you can always change. You know, I haven't seen a Future Shock DDT win a match in like 3 years, so that's a very, very small tweak. But let's talk about his open challenge. Not even open challenge, because he handpicked his first opponent. He picks Kevin Owens, which is a spirit of choice. Like I say, spirit of choices. Yeah. But Kevin was kind of hesitant at first. He was like, oh, I don't want your pity, but I'll take it anyway. Which I was like, wow, is this going to be the end of the Kevin Owens face turn? But then, a tag team match play up. Now, Jack, I understand that we got some time to fill. And I understand that we got wrestlers that just want to get involved. But am I just a little bit jaded of the one-on-one match that becomes a tag team match over a commercial break?
No, you're not. It happens so often. It's so repetitive. It's become almost a weekly thing. And I don't know why you don't just have a tag team match afterwards. Just have the one-on-one and then go to a tag match. I get what they're doing here. I get that my fear is that this is going to be their way of trying to just transition the title to Angel Garza. And that because they couldn't have Garza take on Andrade, so they had to have the transitional guy along the way, which I really hope isn't the case. Because I want Apollo to have a run with that. I feel like people like it. It seems like people are all about it right now, and they're into it, and they're excited for him. And he seems excited about it. And there's just an authentic enthusiasm from him. As far as Kevin Owens goes, I like how he kind of just played I like that he fronted it. It feels like pity, because I was also thinking, how come this guy gets a title shot? He lost.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
So I like that he fronted it. I like that they had their match. I would like to see if I was Jack the Booker, I would love to see at the pay-per-view a four-way elimination match between all four, and then tease a little dissension between Garza and Andrade in that one.
Yeah. Speaking of Jack the Booker, the chat also says that they want to see you in a man bun and the hat you own is a pork pie hat. So I just imagine this pork pie hat wearing Jack being like, yes, excellent.
It's funny is that it's a porcupine. So when I put it on, my tips get frosted immediately too. No,
2001 Jack right there. Dirty pop. but Cruz gets the pin over Andrade second week in a row. We talk about Andrade's decline, and we talked about the decline of Zelina's group. It's hard to take them seriously, but I do think there's a way to salvage them if they go into the tag team division. Would you do that, or would you say, no? They're still Angel Garza as a U.S. Kyle Town candidate. Let's keep them separate.
In a perfect world, yes, I would put them in the tag team division. They would be great in the tag team division, and the tag team division would be so much better off with them there because they're both amazing. If I'm a predictor, I think Andrade and I think Kevin Owens are trade bait to SmackDown at this point. Ooh. I have a feeling that they're both on huge declines. They're not really in the middle of anything. I think they're going to get traded to SmackDown as all these trades are going back and forth, because there's not really anything left for them. How many wins would Andrade have to get before you take him seriously again on Raw? I love him. We've both sang his praise. We're both fans of Andrade.
Yeah.
Man, it's going to take some time. And same with Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens just – he's starting to feel like he's in that Ricochet spot that we all love him. He has good matches – doesn't come up on the winning end very often. I think this is all turning into a way to build towards Angel Garza.
So I hate to be that inside booker guy too, but if you move Andrade to SmackDown, that sends Charlotte over to SmackDown, and you can't have Charlotte and Lacey Evans on the same brand. So she comes to Raw, it becomes this weird cascade, no?
Probably. I don't know.
Who knows? Indeed. Yeah, that's fine.
I like it. When I do my fantasy booking, I only book 1 week in advance. I don't think about all this other stuff.
This is why the IWC hates you, Jack.
I don't want to step on your toes. I don't know what's next. Is it just me, or did Andrade or Garza go from being incredibly fun and this really smooth talker to just kind of cringy and weird? Is that just me?
Yeah, it looks like they're trying to tease the romance of Charlie Caruso, and they're really leaning into the Lethal Lothario thing, which is kind of ironic because in NXT, it was a lot more implied, but we got the point across visually, kissing grandmas or something in the audience, that here's a guy who's so likable, even your mama like him. But now, yeah, straight up, the Latin lover stereotype, which is kind of weird, but I have hopes it'll get smoothed out.
I think it seemed to me watching it that he was that guy that was really smooth, really cool, and it was working, and you could just feel like he was actually a smooth guy. And then like the writers saw that and were like, oh, this is working. Let me write you a really long, unsubtle, smooth guy bit. And now it just doesn't work because it's not natural. The fact that he was so subtle about it was what made it work before. Now it just feels so forced and
Yeah, you want to talk about forced. Later on, Nia Jax had a promo that she used the word charlatan. I'm just like, are we just looking at dictionary terms? You carpetbagger. All right, so let's talk about things that are kind of weird. This bowling contest, man. The Viking Raiders Street Profits. It was fine. As an avid bowler who is not that bad, but not that good, I was kind of offended that Ivar was able to cross the line, throwing his whole body down the lane, and he still gets to pull names.
That's a DQ.
It's a foul. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a foul. Look, the biggest thing about this that blew me away is we've been asking for months who the better team is bowling. I don't know why they gave this away for free on Raw. This was...
the greatest wrestling match ever. The greatest show.
The greatest. We've all been wondering. We've all been asking ourselves if they've bowled, who would be the winning team? It was fun. It was silly.
Yeah.
Definitely some of those moments where you're just like, what are they doing? I don't think this would have been as egregious if this wasn't the fourth week in a row of this bit. I've not been a fan of this for a while, and I feel bad being negative. I'm being negative today.
Oh no, you can totally not be a fan of a segment because it's not wrestling, and it's something we've seen, and the beats have repeated. It wasn't like they went bowling and something happened. It was a wrinkle. It was like, hey, we saw this. They did something, went back and forth, and someone said, hey, you're cute, but not you, and they're turkey legs. I think that's totally within bounds. I think it's fair to say that. But what's left? We've seen axe throwing. We've seen golfing. We've seen bowling. What's going to be number five, I guess?
What's that thing? Is it curling where they slide the thing on ice?
Yes, curling in June. That's what I want to see.
Brush in front of
legendary! Whoa. Before we move on to our next match, I want to try something new with you guys. With Jack, this is a segment. We love segments. This is called Fact or Fiction. I'm gonna give you four or five things. You tell me you can totally see it happening, it being true, or nah. And tell me why. Cool?
Okay.
Number one, Aleister Black is ready for the WWE title right now.
Ooh, that's a good question because I do think he is, but I don't want to take it off of McIntyre just yet. I think he is ready for the title by SummerSlam. So not right the second, but I think SummerSlam, I would love to see. By the way, going back to that whole bit that I really, really love, their story, I love that they can use their they've got their 3-on-3. They've got Theory. They've got Murphy. They got Rollins. And they've got on the other side, they got Umberto. They've got Mysterio. And they've got Aleister Black.
Yeah.
You can have so many different crisscrosses of matches and still have it be interesting and good. I want to see all of that go through. I want to see them play with all these different things. I want to see guys like Rollins beat Mysterio and then build to the Aleister Black feud. And after all the dust clears, after everything happens,
yeah,
then I want to see Aleister Black standing tall, looking at the champion saying, "You're next."
Because my mentor, Rey Mysterio, said, all right, number two.
Booyaka.
That's my pueblo. Number two, Angel Garza and Charlie Caruso is good television.
It was interesting. So it's fiction now. As of now, it's fiction. It was really good. It was like when he first started hitting on her, it was kind of like when your buddy in school hits on the teacher and you're like, dude, I can't believe you're going for it. Good for
you. Yeah.
But now it's like, again, it's too forced. The fact that it was subtle and natural is cool. Now it's not working. If they can pull it back, I think it would work. But right now, no.
Number three, living up to the hype, Edge versus Orton will be a legit top 10 match of all time. Fact or fiction?
No, it will not, but that's not their fault. I think it'll be a great match. And that's like you said, you teased, you came up with an interesting idea that it will be a terrible match.
Yeah.
And sort of troll all of us wrestling fans.
6 minutes, double count out. Two guys laid outside. Just, I can't. This is the greatest show.
Legends ride. So I think it'll be a great match. I think top 10 of all time is some incredibly high standards. I feel like Shawn Michaels has 10 matches that are going to be tough, which he kind of teased at, actually.
Yeah, he was actually in the building, yeah.
As he was saying that, it was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they can top Undertaker Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. That would be crazy, because there's also nothing on the line, so I don't think it can be that big.
And our last one, face Kevin Owens had no chance to be successful. Fact or fiction?
That's fiction. I think he could have been great, but they needed to back him up with some dubs. They needed to have him beat some people.
That's what's up. Throw him up.
They need to give him some juice. They need to, like, instead of just being a guy that complains and then gets beat up, or when he does win, disappears for a month. Right. But he has the chops on the mic to do whatever they need him to do. In fact, if he was in the bowling segment, I think it'd be 20 times better. He can do anything on the mic. Kevin Owens is a stud. But as we've always said before, if you don't win, if you don't get things going, if you don't have some kind of momentum, it just doesn't matter. You're just a guy talking. And so it's fiction that he had no chance, but I think he's trade bait to SmackDown.
SmackDown's like, yes, excellent. Let's talk about someone who did get a win. Billy Kay? What? Billy Kay, the Iconics, got a win over Nikki Cross, one half of the reigning women tag team champions player, and a very convincing win because Nikki Cross was laid out. The Iconics on the rise, looks like, will they be the next women's champions? Or is this just a feud that's going to go on?
I hope they are. They're just natural as the tag team champions. It just makes sense for them. I'm not surprised she won. I'm surprised that she won in such a dominating fashion. She kind of just smacked around Nikki Cross, didn't she? Nikki Cross didn't really even get much offense in. And the whole time, Billie Kay was talking smack and dancing around, and she was like punching at the referee. Yeah. Her energy level, she was at Asuka level energy levels. I loved it. That was one of my favorite Billie Kay performances I've seen in a long time.
I agree.
She fired me up. I was all about Billie Kay during that match. But I'm shocked that Nikki Cross just got beat. But I guess that kind of goes into the story they're telling. The Iconics are kind of picking them apart and kind of mocking Nikki Cross's place as a tag team champion. So maybe that plays into it, but it's interesting. They totally forgot, or at least haven't brought up, that they teased dissension between the Iconics a few weeks ago. That seems to be water under the bridge.
When Billie Kay apologized, Peyton Royce, I forgot who apologized. It was like, oh, I'm sorry too. And that was kind of it. I thought that would have blown over. But this is a lot more aggressive Iconics we've seen before. Will that gimmick still work? Those characters still work, being more of an aggressive heel group rather than being the cowardly ones?
I think they can be aggressive, but I really hope they don't lose that sneaky win mentality that they've had. I love when they were doing the whole, like, hey, if we just get counted out, you don't get to take the titles. You know, yeah. I like that was fun. It was them being sneaky. So I think they can be aggressive, but I don't want them to lose that, what brought them to the dance, which is them being cheap and kind and not the actual best wrestlers, but knowing sort of how to use the rules to their advantage.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because so many people were so excited to see them and so many people wanted to see them back. And there was such an outpouring of excitedness when they came back on social media. Maybe the WWE said, look, these guys are people that people want to cheer for. Let's turn them into a fighting champion type team. I hope that's not the case, because I like them being jerks.
I agree.
Maybe that's what happened.
Jerks. Yeah. Dylan Matthews said Peyton slapped Billy, so Peyton apologized first. That's how it went. I know a slap happened. I saw it happen. I just didn't
realize
who it belonged to. Just real quick on the subject of title changes. We have a new 24/7 title champion. R-Truth rolled up Rob Gronkowski. We saw it coming, although I kind of wish it would have happened during the season. But it looked like the Tampa Bay screw job is on. R-Truth is a new 24/7 champion. Forget about R-Truth and 24/7 title. We talk about it every time he gets it back. What about Rob Gronkowski? He's the longest reigning 24/7 champion. Was his run a success the way you think it is? Like, I mean, he got on social media, he got on the news, maintenance press, but he didn't really defend it normally. Like, what's the deal there?
It was. Again, we've talked about this title before. It's really just an excuse for them to put it on people. It's going to get them some excitement in the press. It got people talking about it on ESPN. It got people talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and is it going to happen at a game? And that's all it's really for, and that's what it did. The fact that he held it for so long is kind of impressive. Like I said, I don't know if we're ever going to beat that milestone. He might be the greatest of his generation.
I saw that. He actually said Rob Gronkowski is a generational talent in wrestling. What? Send all hate mail to Real Jack Glover.
I was kind of bummed it went the way it did. I was kind of hoping – I agree. I wish it went to actually be at a football game or at a practice, or if they could have gotten Tom Brady involved in some way. I'm sure Tom Brady was like, nah, man, not interested at all. But if they could have gotten Tom Brady, even just like in shot, like in the shot when it happened, it would have been so cool. It kind of ended in a bit of a like, eh.
Right.
Because again, we all saw it. Like, it was so obvious what was going to happen. It wasn't even funny, but good for Rob Gronkowski playing the part and doing a good job of it. He was easily the best celebrity who's held it, and when he's done with football, I don't know if he's interested in wrestling. He is built to be a pro wrestler.
Yeah, not sure if I would actually pay money to see that, honestly. But I mean, because he could be. If Cain Velasquez can do it in Saudi Arabia, why not?
Legends rise.
That song is dope. It is. I listen to it all the time. Judas and Legends Rise back to back. It's a good mix. Let's talk about this women's division, man. Nia Jax, again, if you look at the internet, if you look at wrestling fans, it looks like from the outside perspective, non-scientifically, that not a lot of friends of Nia Jax out there. And I am resoundingly neutral on Nia. I thought she's an okay talent. I didn't like the way her character was broken last year with the whole bully thing, but I don't mind her as much as other people. But that promo today was kind of weird. My first reaction was like, ooh, that cut kind of deep. It had another match with Kairi Sane. Kairi Sane and Nia Jax, the result was pretty much expected. Nia Jax outweighs Kairi by about 130 pounds, I think, 100 pounds or so. Thoughts about the match first before we go into the whole intricacies of Nia versus Asuka?
The match itself is exactly what you expected it to be. I mean, it was Kairi Sane getting a few shots in, but over at the end of the day, the big, mean, bad guy of the match beat her up. That's what you I don't really know what I'm trying to
expert
find
analysis, yeah.
I'm trying to find some good analytical words, but really it was a big mean person beat up the little person. That's what happened.
So here's the dealio though, because Kairi Sane was still technically a heel. I know Asuka got the championship, but everyone we love Asuka, bro, but I guess you could say Asuka's turned face for the sake of the title, but Kairi's still a heel. But yeah, we're cheering for Kairi. Is this a start of something bigger for her, you think?
They turned face, or they became people we love as soon as the crowds disappeared, because they nailed the empty arena so well that it was impossible to not like them. And we could have called them bad guys. we could have treated them like bad guys, but we all loved them. I think we all loved Kairi Sane the whole time anyway. Kairi Sane's so lovable. Did we really hate Kairi Sane at any point?
I know no. I didn't.
No, we always loved her. We just booed her because, yeah, we get it. That's the role. So, right. But we always loved Kairi Sane. I think we always loved Asuka as well. And so I think this is one of those things where we appreciate how good they are at being either or. But now it just, with everything that's happened, they've done so well. They've been so exciting. They've been so good. I think it's, we would be cheering them no matter what they were doing. I think at this point, even if Asuka was still like spitting green mist in people's faces, we'd be cheering her for doing it.
So, right. But we can't because it's not sanitary. Make sure you wash your hands, y'all. And we're protective equipment out there. Yeah, spitting mist is so gross now.
Now they're like, wait, I got to clean it, but I can't touch my face.
Bro, I watch movies and people give high fives. I'm like, oh my God, high fives? Are you kidding me? Contact. I just... It's weird. So this match to me was a little bit interesting for other reasons besides the size differences and Nia Jax being totally hated out there by the internet trolls. It does seem that Nia is trying to be more, I guess, almost like agile, but willing to take damage more than her last run before she was the irresistible force, which it was implied she was also a movable object. But here she's like got kicked in the face, got punched in the face last week, she took an elbow to Kairi Sane. I mean, is this a monster still? And I ask you this because if she were to win the Raw Women's Championship at Backlash, would she be technically unbeatable then? Or is she more beatable now than before?
She's always going to be the monster of the division because there's no one in WWE in the women's division that is close to being as big as she is, except for maybe Flair and maybe Ripley. But on Raw, there's none. No one's close to her size. So even she could start doing moonsaults and 450s and all sorts of things. She's always going to be the monster of the division. That's all there is to it. She's going to be. I think the fact that she was doing a little bit more and not just sort of standing there while Kairi Sane bounced around and got thrown around, I think it's just her growing as a performer. I think it means she's getting better. And look, I'm not an apologist for Nia Jax in any sense, but
I know I am.
I mean, you get like she's growing, like she's becoming a better performer. I think that's good for her. I know the people online like to say that she's not safe and she injures people. I don't know that. I'm not a performer. I've never done that. I can't read whether or not someone's safe or not. It all looks unsafe to me. So right. I'm not gonna be the person that makes that call. But as a performer, it seems like she's doing more than she used to, which I'm always gonna say, good for you.
This is a reminder to don't try this. So she gets involved in this matchup, the semi-main event, or I guess the co-main event, Asuka, the current Raw Women's Champion, taking on Charlotte Flair, the NXT Champion. But before we get to the match itself, Nia Jax gets involved with the whole mind game angle against Asuka with the face paint and the mask and everything. Thoughts about that? I feel like there's a line between it being like, oh, she's getting in her head versus like, wait, you took time to put on face paint and a mask? Like, aren't you supposed to be?
Yeah, it's. I think they just wanted to spice it up so it wasn't just her running out and attacking because they already had a few of those tonight.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, is it really mind games? You're still running out. And like, if I'm walking down the street and you run up to me, Flobo, and bash me in the back of the head, I'm not going to be like, wait, were you wearing my shirt?
I totally was.
Yeah, are you wearing my headband? Yeah.
You have headbands? I wasn't made for this. No. I'll
buy one. I think they were just trying to spice it up a little bit. And I think it was something we expected. I don't think any of us expected a clean finish to that match. But yeah, I mean, I guess when you really break it down and think about it, it is weird that to imagine her like backstage looking in the mirror, like painting on the line.
Right. Like, when I'm done, she's going to be so serious.
Hey, can someone go get me one of those masks real quick? I want to
yeah, play her music.
And the music, I actually did when the music started playing. Honestly, the first thing I thought was like, wait, did she win? Did I miss something? Did I like miss a DQ or something? Like that was actually my first thought when the music came on is that I missed a like something happening and her winning. And so I was actually more confused than, ooh, something's happening. It was kind of like when when Seth Rollins was in the tag match and then he hit Rey Mysterio in his own match and got DQ'd for it.
Right.
And it was like, wait, what? That was weird. That was how I felt more than anything else at first.
You're going to totally laugh at me and I don't care, but I heard Asuka's music. I was like, clone, palette swap. Who's going to, I had Sin Cara vibes. I swear to you. I was like, who's this other Asuka coming out?
Wouldn't it be great if they pretended like we couldn't tell the difference between Nia Jax and Asuka?
like Mr. America or whatever. Right. Yeah. I think he's Hogan. I don't know. That's not right, brother. Or towards the end with the Bella twins, where it's obviously not twins at all. Right. Twin magic. Right. Shout out to the Bellas. Check it out. They have a Total Bella show and after turn after Buzz TV. Please don't fire me. But the match itself, Charlotte Flair against Asuka. Now, I mentioned this on Twitter because Charlotte Flair over the past 2.5 weeks has appeared on SmackDown, on Raw, and NXT. And there is a school of wrestling fans that are very, very valid. They go, oh my gosh, you're putting Charlotte everywhere in every channel. This is way too much Charlotte Flair. Vince loves Charlotte Flair. It's in my throat. But there's another class that says, hey, look, you know, back in November, Adam Cole was on 3 different brands and we thought he was dope. He was being a workhorse. Is it fair that people think that Charlotte shoved down our throat, or are these people right? Charlotte is on too many TV shows at once.
Listen, this is something I've come to learn watching sports, watching wrestling. People hate greatness. They hate Tom Brady. They hate LeBron James. People hate greatness. When someone is amazing, for some reason, people just can't say, this is amazing. I'm excited to see it. Good for them. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Tom Brady broke my heart as a Seahawks fan. He broke it in half. But I still say, man, I am so excited to see that guy play because he's a legend. And people need to say the same things about Charlotte Flair. She is a legend. She's great. She should be on every show. She should be on Main Event also. She should be on 205 Live. I don't care. She should be on every single show. When she should be on After the Bell and asking questions before Corey Graves gets a chance.
What are you doing here, Charlotte?
She should be everywhere. She's great. Did you hear that promo? She made every single person sound important while at the same time saying she's the greatest. It is awesome. She's great. She should be on there, and she's doing exactly what everyone wanted, which is wearing the NXT women's title and taking it on a tour and beating everyone up and saying the NXT women's division is the greatest women's division in all of wrestling. She's a legend, and I think all these people who are sick of seeing her are going to come back in a few years when she's done and finished and retired and go, she was the greatest. She was so good. How come we don't have anyone like her anymore? The same way they do it with John Cena.
Wow. So are you saying equal footing, Cena and Flair? Cena, Charlotte, Flair, not like Ric Flair. But that's weird. Yeah.
I think she's the John Cena of women's wrestlers for sure.
Okay. So
I think there's obviously different starting places. The women's evolution is still happening and they're still coming up. By the way, almost the entire second half of this show was women wrestling, which was fantastic, I thought.
Absolutely.
And they're still getting there, but obviously there's an exposure difference and things like that that are a little different. But as far as she is so far beyond any of the women wrestlers before her, she's great. We just need to accept it.
So I guess you kind of answered my next question, but I just wanted a bit more of a new counterpoint. So Mars, like, she's the NXT champion, women's champion. NXT is on more channels. You can say, you can argue, you can debate. She's elevating the NXT title in prestige. Mm-hmm. But some people might say, rumors have been swirling. I don't even really want to stir the pot, but allow me to stir the pot, that Charlotte is almost so good that this ends up just being a prop. It doesn't elevate the title. The title doesn't seem to be elevated because Charlotte Flair is a supernova in the sky.
I hate that line. They don't need the title. That kills me. It kills me. You know, okay, let's fine. You know what? Let's go ahead and give the titles to all the people who have never been on TV before because it'll help them the most.
Yeah.
No, you give the title to the best person. Could you imagine if the UFC was like, you know what, Conor McGregor, John Jones, all those guys, everyone knows them already. Let's not give them any title shots. How about that guy that's 1-0? Let's give him a title shot. No one knows him, and he'll really grow and do good things. No, you give the title to the very best. She should have it. I don't buy the whole they don't need it thing. That's silly to me. I've never understood it. She's the best. She should be the champion. I've said before, she should collect all the titles. She should have the Raw, SmackDown, and NXT title and hold them. I think.
Okay, okay, stop. No, that's way too much. That doesn't make any sense. No, okay, I can't support having one person with four different. Who's Lance Storm? Come on.
Three titles.
Yeah. Saskatchewan, hardcore, international title.
Right. 200 kilos and under. And
200 kilos and under. The Canadian. I wish Canadian Championship came back. They should bring back the Canadian Championship, but it'd be like the women's intercontinental title. Like don't call the women's anything. Just call it like Canadian Championship or like South American title. And then that's the way it should
be. Yeah, I think that's cool.
But let's talk about greatness. Edge, Orton, greatest match ever. You heard the promos. I mean, the graphic takes up half your TV screen. Randy Orton put a promo down saying, look, bro, I'm not only better than you, I was half-assing it my entire career. Yo, Orton, Jack,
so good.
Big RKO energy. Talk me through this, dude.
Big RKO energy. Orton is so good, man. What a way to use all the things that people say about him and make it a great promo. Because he's one of those guys, as people have said, you know, he's already got his money. He's just there to collect a paycheck. You know, he doesn't need.
He's good.
He's good, but he doesn't need these things. What a great promo, and delivered so well, and delivered as a jerk. I don't know. We got to start giving him so much more credit because he is so good at being a bad guy that, like, how do you not like him? For one, he's got one of the coolest finishers ever. He's a 13-time champion. He's super entertaining. All of his matches are great. All his promos are great, but he still finds a way to make us go, I hate you, jerk.
Charlotte Flair or Randy Orton? I'm just kidding.
Ooh, fair. That was a good response. So they have been selling this in promos only so well. These two are giving master classes in cutting promos. They are giving master classes in building feuds without having to dress up like your opponent, without having to have 6-man tag team matches every single week, without having to have weird run-ins. They're just talking. They're just chatting. And they're selling this. Again, I don't know if it's going to be the greatest match of all time.
Yeah.
That's a little bit much. Whatever it is, because whatever it is, this isn't the end. They're going to go for three. They're going to go for the tiebreaker. Sure. Randy Orton's winning. Spoiler alert, he's winning. And they're going to go on to SummerSlam for the third match, which, going in order, obviously, you start with the last man standing match.
Brutal.
Then you go to the regular match, and they're going to cap this off, Flobo, at SummerSlam with a contract signing.
Oh, live on pay-per-view.
Live on pay-per-view. That's how they're going to end this thing.
I've signed the contract. You still got it.
That's gonna be how they end this.
That's why we're not bookers, Jack. SummerSlam back live in front of an audience.
And then Charlotte Flair puts him in the figure eight.
I know, right? Like, tap out. It's so powerful, this move. So Edge has time to respond. There's one more Raw before Backlash. You know what? As they say in battle rap, homeboy already got body, dog. Like, how can Edge come back next week? Randy Orton just said, I got you, fam. Like, what's up?
If there's one thing I know, it's battle rap. And where's my snare?
Yeah, I know, right?
I think the way this has been going, I'm not counting Edge out. I'm sure he's got something good. I'm sure they're gonna meet next week, I think. It may not be planned that way. They may not build it that way, but I have a feeling it's gonna be one of those things where it's Edge backstage going, I've got grit and I'm gonna, dig down, and I've waited 9 years for this, and whack, and he's gonna get taken out by Randy Orton. And I think he's gonna punt kick him. I think it's gonna be tough. I think it's gonna be brutal. And if I was figuring it all out, I would have it in the ring in front of all those fans, all the NXT wrestlers that are there cheering and stuff. And I'd have them go silent as Randy Orton stands over Edge and just punt kicks him and send us out in silence. That's what I would like to see.
You've been advocating for that pump kick for like 10 years, Jack. It's over. It's not coming back. It's not coming back.
I love the punt kick. It's such a cool, it's so simple. It's just, you kick someone.
Violence, the bloodthirsty violence here, Jack Worm. Chris Hill popped hard with you doing battle rap for some reason in the chat. Quote of the night, Jack Farmer, one thing I know is battle rap. Lord. Jeez, it's almost time for us to get out of here, but just real quick, I want to ask, we are about 8 days away from Backlash, which is traditionally one of the weaker pay-per-views because it also comes after Mania. The hype scale, if you will, 1 to 10. Are you on board? Are you meh? Are you cool?
This has actually been a really well-built pay-per-view as far as like the matches that I think we're going to be getting. It's actually, I'm actually pretty pumped up. I'm going to give it a solid 7, I think.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think a lot of it has to do with the 1-2 punch of In Your House and Backlash. It feels like I'm going back to 98, you know, but I do think both cards looking pretty solid, and I'm on board now more than ever. I really want to see what happens in the WWE title division, which me personally, even though I cover the show every week, it's been a while since I've been, since the WWE title storyline has been the one I'm like, oh man, what's going to happen?
But yeah, because it's been basically, can I beat Brock Lesnar for the past few years? And this is an actual story instead of just, true, can I beat Brock Lesnar or can I defend against Brock Lesnar?
That's poignant. But Jack Farmer, it's about time we hit the road and hit your brand new battle rap tour with your pork pie hat and man bun. Where can the world find you online, good sir?
You can find me at Jack C. Farmer as well as at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. You can also check me out on the AEW Dynamite After Show every Wednesday at 8:15 Pacific Standard Time here on AfterBuzz TV, as well as this continued conversation with you, Flobo, on Thursdays, every Thursday at 3 p.m. for Jack and Flobo Wrestle with Your Questions. Wrestling with Your Questions. Who knows? Check it out. You'll see it. It's always a fun time.
Yes, that's true. Make sure to tune up for that. I'm Flobo Boyce. You can follow me at Twitter, at Flobo Boyce, on Instagram, at Flobito, and Flobito.com. Buy a t-shirt at Flobito.threadless.com. On Wednesday, June 3rd, my novelty comedy single called Alone in the Club is available on iTunes and Spotify and all that good stuff. Make sure on Wednesday you stream it. Look for me, put my name in the chat. But of course, until next time, stay safe. Tell someone you love them. Life is short and precious, but buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.